American. You're a classic example of the people who built this country.
He's got plenty of ideas on how to bring change.
Great American, a great New Yorker.
This is the Katz Roundtable. Now, here's John Katzimatidis.
Good morning, America. This is the Katz Roundtable. John Katzimatidis here. Sunday morning. What the heck is going on in the world? Well, one of the most talented and smartest guys I know is Ambassador John Bolton. And he's the author of a new book, too, The Room Where It Happened, the White House memoir. Ambassador Bolton, you'll talk about the book later, but tell us first what's going on.
Well, it's very busy, especially for the United States. You know, the president is in South Korea and Japan. His first trip there as president, a lot of tensions with North Korea, which threatens to launch missiles or conduct nuclear tests, a lot of worries about China. But, of course, the concern about Russia's invasion of Ukraine continues, that war still grinding on. But a very significant development, which is in prospect here, is Finland and Sweden joining NATO. Abandoning the neutrality they've had for decades. The leaders of Finland and Sweden visited President Biden at the White House Thursday before he left for his Asia trip. So a lot going on, and a lot of things that are still having a pretty big influence here, the problems with rising prices and so on caused by bad economic policies from the White House and the Fed. Obviously having an impact on the global economy, too. So in Asia and Europe, in the United States, it's a very busy and troubling time.
Understood. Do we expect anything significant from President Biden's trip through the East?
Well, I think it's possible. You know, the main reason for the trip to South Korea is the new president, President Yoon, just sworn in a couple of weeks ago, much more conservative than his predecessor, Moon Jae-in. And in his campaign for president, Yoon was very tough on North Korea, very tough on China. He wanted closer relations with the United States, closer relations with Japan, which is controversial in Korea. But I think somebody really determined to protect North Korea from the dangerous protect South Korea from the dangerous neighborhood that it's in. And ironically, Biden has favored a softer line on China and North Korea. So it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. And then again, a relatively new prime minister in Japan, probably our most important ally in Asia, especially dealing with North Korea and China. And traditionally, Japan has taken a very hard line against North Korea's nuclear weapons program, much harder than Biden or the Obama administration. So trying to see how that works out is going to be significant, I think, as well. So a lot going on here. Maybe not much we'll see publicly, but very important to get these two new leaders in South Korea and Japan to make sure that Biden understands how strongly they worry about the threats from North Korea and China.
Understood. Let's go back to the European situation. Is NATO now together, and is Turkey with NATO? There's been some rumblings.
Yeah, well, the Turks have said they're going to oppose Finland and Sweden joining NATO. I think that's just a bargaining position. I think what they really want is the lifting of American sanctions that were imposed during the Trump administration when Turkey bought Russian air defense systems, the S-400. But I do think when it comes to the war in Ukraine, there are divisions within NATO, and something that, although the Biden administration talks about how united NATO is, it's not really. France is not part of the, I think, the bigger picture. But it's also something to have an effective alliance. You have to have American leadership, and on this particular question of Ukraine, we don't really know what Biden's objectives are. I mean, I think it's important that given the success that the Ukrainians have had, given the failures of the Russian military, we need to decide what we consider to be victory in this struggle. What do the Ukrainians want? What are we prepared to support? What are the other members of NATO prepared to support, but you can't hear that articulated by Biden. He doesn't say one way or the other. But that determines what arms are we going to give, what intelligence are we going to give to the Ukrainians, and we need to decide that, and we haven't done it yet.
Understood. Well, what else do you think the American people want to hear this morning?
Well, I think it's going to be very interesting to see how Biden deals with China, both on the Asia trip, but also as we look forward toward the election, because we've allowed our economy to become so dependent on China that when we face problems like inflation, like the effect of COVID, a lot depends on how China reacts to it. I think American people are very worried about the economic power that China has, the military power that's growing, and really haven't seen much of a Biden response to it. He talked tough during the campaign, but we're getting close to a year and a half in office now, and he really hasn't performed on that. I think that's the big question going forward for a long time for the United States, how we handle China.
Understood. What's going on? We all live in this world, and the inflation rates are starting to go so wacky that people are really worried. You have any feelings on that?
Well, I think this is something, unfortunately, that was foreseeable with the Biden administration and the Fed both pursuing incorrect policies. Biden put enormous, nearly $2 trillion worth of additional stimulus into the economy. He wanted to do even more before Congress refused to follow it. That helped vastly increase the money supply, decrease the value of the dollar. That's a contributor to inflation. And the Fed was pursuing an interest rate policy and an asset purchase policy that kept too much money in the economy. Now, they're trying to shrink it now, but people should be worried. We're worried two threats, the continuing threat of inflation, which really has not diminished much, and it's at a 40-year high. But the other side of that coin is as the Fed tries to cool the economy down, it could tip us into a recession. So all of this, these are self-inflicted wounds, but to the economy that we've seen, but it affects people in their daily lives, and everybody knows it. The price of food, the price of gasoline could have an enormous political impact, very negative for Biden this November.
And last question, I'm going to go back to Russia. There's some people are saying that Russia seems to be settling into the eastern part of the Ukraine, versus the Ukrainians are saying they have kicked their butt. What's closer to reality?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, Russia has had more success in eastern Ukraine militarily than in the north or in the south. And the Ukrainians are still fighting hard, but the Russians have gained ground. And I think our fear ought to be that at some point they're going to say, okay, the war's over, but they expect to keep what territory they've already been able to expand into. That's why it's so important for the U.S. to understand what our objectives are. Are we going to accept that? Are we going to demand the Russians pull back to the lines before the invasion in February? Are we going to expect them to pull back to what the boundaries were before the first Russian invasion in 2014? The Ukrainians certainly want all of their territory back, and that has been the U.S. position. But it's not at all clear today where Biden is on that. And I think we're at the point, because the Ukrainians have done so much better and the Russians have done so much worse than we expected at the beginning, we've got to come to grips with this. You can't supply assistance unless you know what your objectives are, and you don't have a negotiating position when we come to that until you know what your objectives are. So I think the burden's on Biden here to come up with what he thinks is the definition of victory.
Ambassador John Bolton, I want to thank you for everything you've done for our country and continue to speak out for our country. God bless you and God bless America. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, John.